Okay, for our meditation, I'm going to go back to Paul's letter to the Philippians. That was our epistle lesson for today. And it says, we want to look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Okay, and we read there in that verse, Paul writes these words, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I'll say it again, rejoice. Let me set the stage for what was going on in Paul's life when he wrote those words. Now, when you first hear what Paul has to say there about rejoicing in the Lord always, and to remind us to keep on rejoicing, you might think that he's experiencing some great event in his faith life or in his walk of faith or something historic happening in the church, the life of the church. For example, maybe Paul's preaching converted a whole family, pulled them out of the darkness of unbelief and brought them into the light of life and hope. Or maybe Paul finally established a Christian congregation in the midst of some pagan city. And you can hear Paul exclaiming at those events, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice." Well, the reality is far different from that. When Paul wrote those words, he's under arrest, he's bound in chains, and he's in a Roman prison. Yet even then, he could still write, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I'll say it again, rejoice. Why would he say that? Because he reminds us that God has given us, his children, the fullest measure of his grace and peace. We have in our faith a joy unspeakable and wonderful that fills us with delight. And there is nothing, not even being chained in a Roman prison, that can ever rob us of the joy and peace we have in believing that Christ is our Lord and Savior. Again, when you hear those kinds of words, you might think that Paul was a pretty happy fellow, even though he's going through some hard times right now. Maybe you think Paul lived his life pretty much not having a care in the world. I mean, he's a called apostle. But he gives us a little glimpse into his life in the New Testament. He tells us what struggles he had as a believer in this world. Listen to this. He says, "I've been imprisoned over and over." Experts who study these kinds of things say that Paul may have been in prison for a total of up to 5 years or more of his life. Paul goes on to say, "Five times I received 30 lashes from the Jews. I've been severely flogged, pelted with stones, exposed to death again and again. Three times I was beaten with rods. Three times I was shipwrecked. One time I was afloat at sea a full day and a full night. I've been in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles. I've been in danger when I went into cities. I've been in danger in the country. I've been in danger at the sea. I've been in danger from false believers. I've gone without sleep. I've been starving and thirsty. I've been cold and naked." Wow. And we thought living through the corona pandemic was tough. When you hear what all that Paul went through, you got to wonder how he could say, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say, rejoice. Where did he find the joy? Maybe a better question would be, where can we find that kind of joy as we struggle to live out our lives in this veil of tears? Well, the answer to that question and the source of our joy goes back to the grace and peace that is ours in Christ Jesus. Now, that's not to say that as Christians we walk around with a silly smile plastered on our face all the time, trying to present the picture that as believers, we have no worries or cares in this world. That's not what Christianity is all about. It's not what our faith teaches us. And even though there may be some TV preachers who try to pass that off on us, that when you become a believer and when you mail in your check to support this ministry, your life will become a bed of roses. Well, that just isn't true. We heard it wasn't true for Paul, and we know it wasn't true for Jesus. So we pretty much can be assured that's not going to be true for us either. But we still can be happy. We can still rejoice in our faith in every situation of life. That is possible. Now, how can we do that? Well, first we have to remember that because of our faith, we possess all the blessings of God. He overflows them in our hearts. Remember Psalm 23. The cup what? Overflows. Not just one. It keeps on pouring grace and blessings into our hearts and in our lives through faith. And Paul reminds us in the first verse of this letter to the Philippians that the greatest of these blessings that we enjoy every day is grace, the grace of our Lord. Now, what is grace? Grace has been defined as getting from God what we don't deserve. What we deserved from God because of our sins is his wrath and punishment and eternal damnation. But we don't get that. In his grace, what we get from God is love and mercy and forgiveness and life and salvation. To possess the grace of God means that we have the full and free and complete forgiveness of all of our sins. To possess the grace of God means that God himself has declared us to be righteous in his sight. It means that no one can ever accuse us of anything any longer. Not even Satan himself. The blood of God's Son has cleansed us from all of our sins. And as a result, all of our sins are forgiven. God sees them no more. And maybe even more importantly, he remembers them no more. They're gone. We are his forgiven children. Now, Paul goes on to say, out of that grace that we possess in our faith, God also gives us a peace that passes all understanding. We have peace in knowing that that enmity, that warfare that stood between us and God because of our sins is ended. Peace is knowing that we are God's children now and forever. Peace is the assurance that there is nothing that can ever separate us from God's love for us in Christ Jesus. Peace is knowing that God is at work in every situation of our lives, working all things together for our eternal good. And Paul says that peace passes all understanding. True, our ship of life at times may be storm-tossed, but we will never sink. Our foothold on life may shift and shake, but we stand firm on the rock of our salvation. Darkness may be all around us, but we have the light of life. Satan and hell may rant and rage and threaten to devour us, but they will not prevail over us. We are God's dear children. He is our heavenly Father. He has sealed us as his own. He promises us that heaven is our eternal inheritance. And so we can live in and with that peace that passes all understanding. That brings us to another reason why we can rejoice in this life. Since we are the children of God, that means that God is our Heavenly Father. And as our Heavenly Father, he tells us that he wants us, his dear children, to come to him anytime, anywhere, with any care, concern, or want we may have. He wants us to bring them all to his throne of grace. And he promises us that he will hear every one of those prayers. And he assures us that he will answer every one of those prayers. And he says, I will do it for you in the best way possible and at the best time for you. I think that's an amazing thought. God hears our every prayer. And he promises to answer each and every one of us and assures us that when that answer comes, it will always be the best answer and at the exact right time. Here's another thought that comes from faith. Another reason to rejoice always. Faith reminds us it's only going to get better. Remember, we are the Lord's. In life, we are the Lord's. In every situation of life, we are the Lord's. And even in that moment of death, we are the Lord's. In that moment, we will fully realize the goal of our faith. Because of our faith, because we are the Lord's, death cannot hold us. The grave has no power over us. Satan's grip on us will be broken one day completely and forever. Hell will not prevail. We are the Lord's. And we live with this assurance. Our victory has been won. Eternal life is ours. We will one day be with the Lord forever. And it just doesn't get any better than that. So back to what Paul reminds us. We can rejoice. And we can rejoice always. Because in our faith, our Heavenly Father has given us an overflowing measure of his grace and peace. And then assures us that there is nothing that can take that away from us ever. Children of God, the fight has been fought. The victory has been won. Thanks be to God who gives us this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.